Well, Suomi is a Finnish locality. Well, it starts about 12 miles northeast of Deer River and extends along Little Bowstring Lake and Grave Lake. And most of the people live right in that 6 mile section between the lakes, around the lakes.
Now, is it a township?
No, it's an unorganized township, 58.
So how did it get its name, Suomi?
The Itasca Lumber Company had owned the land in the early days, about 1895, and they logged the area over. They even put a railroad, a narrow gauge railroad, through from Deer River and came up to Little Bowstring and turned northeast and followed the shore of Little Bowstring, the south shore, and followed the creek up towards Grave Lake, and then followed the west shore of Grave Lake, and went as far as Smith Lake. And so they logged the whole area over from 1895 to 1905. When they were through logging, they wanted to sell the land, of course, and they got a hold of this Finnish realtor from Duluth, named Andero Havela was his name. And so he put ads in the Finnish newspapers. There was a Finnish newspaper published in Duluth and one in Superior. And he advertised in those two newspapers. And that's what got the people to come to inquire about the area. In Finland, the country is called Suomi. This fellow that sold the land, then he was the one that suggested naming it Suomi because it was so much like Finland with the trees and the lakes and the hills and yeah.
Now, about what year was that?
It was 1916 when the first people came. In fact, my maternal grandfather and my dad and another, my dad was a son-in-law. And then another son-in-law, Otto Salo, they came in 1916 and bought land in that area.
Mm-hmm. And you were born there?
I was born there.
Gertie, you were born there?
I was born there.
And tell us about your family, Gertie.
Well, my family came there in 1918. Grandpa had come from Finland earlier and then sent for his family and worked in the mines in Hibbing first and then saw the advertisements for Suomi, and they moved there then in 1918. Both my mother's parents and my father's parents came up at that time.
They must have wanted to move out in the country then, or out in the woods.
That was the dream of most of the people that came from, well, Finland and other European countries too. They did come to work in the mines to get started, but their dream was to have a farm of their own.
What happened there in 1916, 17, 18 that brought your people here?
What happened there was when, like I mentioned earlier, that my grandfather, Jafet Haakkinen, my dad, and Otto Salo came there at the same time, and they each bought a land. Your grandpa bought a land on the south, my dad bought one next to his on the north, and Otto Salo bought 80 on the north of my dad's. Well, then Otto was drafted into the First World War, and he sold the land to Jack Mackey.
Gertie, how did you and Oliver meet? You both grew up in Suomi area. How did you guys meet?
Oh, we went to school together in the country school there.
Yeah, what was school like?
I thought it was fun. When I was in first grade, there still were two rooms and two teachers. But then in second grade, the eighth grade had been a large one the year before. And then some families moved away, so there were less children. And then from then on, it was just one room.
And what did the kids do for fun? What did you guys do for fun?
Oh, we had a baseball area behind the school and played a lot of baseball and hide and seek.
We had a beautiful hill to the east side, and it was kind of a steep hill too, and we would ice it down, and what fun we had on that hill, sliding down that hill.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What did your parents do, Gertie?
They farmed north of Oliver's home.
Mm-hmm. What kind of farming?
We had cattle and dairy cows, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about your folks?
It was the same. Everybody that came there, there was about 20 families that came there in that period from 1917 to 1920. Mm-hmm. There was about 20 families that came, and they all built their homes and barns and had dairy cows.
Pretty self-sufficient then.
That's right. They had dairy cows and some chickens. And
did many people work off the farm? Did they have to go elsewhere to find work?
Well, some woods work was done. A lot of the people did some woods work in the wintertime.
But most of the logging, the big logging, had passed, the big logging, gone through already.
Mm-hmm. Big logging was through. In fact, when the people came to the area, it was mostly pine stumps. And that was a big job then to dynamite the stumps out to clear land. But there was still some timber around here and there, so people could cut some wood for sale and also building material. Most of the people stayed. When these 20 people that stayed, there was only two that left. One family left a couple of years later. Their reason was that they said, when it rains all the time, and when it's dry, it's so ungodly dry. And so they did leave. And then there was another, the Kolo family came there in 1917, too. And then he had a bad accident during hunting and lost a leg. And so, he was a craftsman. He made himself a wooden leg. But then he realized, he can't carve out a farm out there with a wooden leg. So he put an ad in the paper and told about the 40 acres that he's got joining a lake. And sometime later he got a letter asking, now this lake that you're on, has that got hard or soft water in it? Well, Chalmer thought for a while, and he wrote back and said, in the summertime it's nice and soft, but in the wintertime it's so hard I can drive a horse on it.
He was a real joker.
he really had a sense of humor. He did live in Marcel, so we knew of him until his death, but he was a nice fellow. It was just so sad that he had to lose a leg and move away.
But boy, did he dance with that wooden leg. Yeah.
Well, how about just your day-to-day existence in terms of chores? What was a day in the life like growing up on the homestead in Sumy?
I guess milk the cows in the morning, and for the women anyway, and baking and cooking and cleaning the house. And
did you heat with wood mostly? Or
everybody burned wood. The wood was cut during the winter time, and then a group of men would get together with a buzzsaw. There was somebody that Walter Philpus had a buzzsaw with a big one-cylinder, big flywheeled engine. And so he would go from place to place, and five men then would get together and saw a year's supply of wood in about 5 hours.
Wow!
And so that it was a nice get together, and it was. I did that myself. Then little by little, there was a change in the owners of the saw rigs, and so in the later years, I did a lot of that myself, and it was a miserable job because there was always sawdust flying around, and we were wet and everything because the wood had been cut during the winter, and then about in March is the time that the wood was cut into blocks, and it was a miserable job, but it was fun because we'd get to the place about 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'd saw for an hour, and we'd stop for coffee, and then the women had a big dinner at 12 o'clock. And we enjoyed dinner, and then by 3 o'clock, the wood was all sod, so we had coffee again, and it was that kind of a fun get-together.
Kind of a social event as well, then. Huh?
It really was.
Just like thrashing time, thrashing the grain. A fellow came from Deer River with a big thrashing machine and went through the community, and everybody would come and thrash there. And
so you grew some wheat on the farms? Or?
Some wheat. And oats and barley.
Oh, wow.
The soil, fortunately, was productive. The soil changed in that particular area, right in the Sumy area, that it was called The soil people call it a Nebish, and Beltrami loam is what they call it, but a lot of people call it a clay. But it was productive. Oh, I tell you, the grain would grow, and alfalfa would grow, and fortunately, the land was productive.
Yeah, we can't say that about a lot of our forested lands for farming. It didn't turn out that way. It's a lot of...
Just to the south and east of us, it turned into sand.
Oh.
The land on the east shore of of Grave Lake was sand. But in that particular Somi area, nobody had a sand farm.
What about other social events? What else went on in terms of having fun in the community?
Well, the church... was organized in 1918 already, just a year after the people started to come there. There wasn't a church, of course, and the church services were held either at the school or in homes. And once in a great while, maybe three times a year, a minister would come from Duluth on the train and have services. But otherwise, the women... had what they called a ladies' aid. The Lutherans called it a ladies' aid, and they would faithfully get together every month. And, of course, the women didn't drive, so the men came, and the whole family would come then from place to place and have an evening of religious song singing, and the meetings. Ladies would have their meetings, and the men would have their get-together in another room, and then there was this fine lunch served, and a little collection carried, you know. And so that was the start of the congregation. That went on for many years. The church was then built in 1939. By that time, then, the services were quite regular. At first, they were two services a month, but then it finally got to a service every Sunday.
Were most people there Lutherans?
Lutherans,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, then there was a hall was built, too, for those that weren't really church members mm-hmm. or church going with. They built a hall, and then there was... dances there and plays and social gatherings. So there was a activity in that way too. But the thing of it is, you know, the people, well, they had political differences and religious differences, but they all worked together. If there was somebody needed help or if somebody wanted a new roof on their barn or something, they would get together and all work together. So it was really a close-knit community, even if there was some, you know, some differences in thought and so on. Mm-hmm. But it was a great community, great people.
Mm-hmm. At its peak, how many people lived there?
Well, there were 20 families that moved to begin with, and some of them had, like the Riccola family, they had 12 children. And the Sari family had 10, but most had 4 or so.
How about yours, Oliver? How many?
There were 4. I have 3 older sisters. Mm-hmm. I was the baby of the family.
And Gertie, how many in your family?
4 children. I had 2 sisters and a brother.
Did anybody make any cash? Was this a cash economy part of this, or was it mostly you produced what you used?
Well, it was... As far as cash, I don't think there was too much of it around. But you know, they had these cows, and there was a market for the cream. In the early days, the cream would be brought to the depot where the railroad would stop by Little Bowstring. Udo Riccola and his wife had a store there, and then they would take care of the cream that was put on the train. And so all the people would bring cream to sell. Actually, most of the people lived pretty much off the land.
My uncle, he did logging, and he had a camps here and there, and my dad worked for him in the winter a lot, and then Mom did the chores, and we kids would help her then with the chores.
When did electricity come in?
In 1945. October 30th, 1945. I remember the day real well. Yeah, it was really something. The school Halloween program was held that evening, and so
the lights came on. That's great.
Yeah, that was a great day when electricity came, and of course things changed then, because then people could get some got milking machines and. Electricity would turn the cream separator, and And so electricity really changed the way of life. Mm-hmm.
Well, what else has changed in Sumy over the last 50 or 60 years? How would you describe the population there now and how things changed?
Well, about 1970 or so, the older people were dying off and the young people were leaving to work someplace else. And I was really concerned what will happen with Suomi. And then people started to retire and come in from other states and build cabins, or some built year-round homes. And so the community today has more people during the summer than there ever were, but it's different there. You know, there's doctors and lawyers and school superintendents and teachers and pharmacists, and so it's a different community than it used to be when everybody was farming. But these new people are nice people too. So I really feel fortunate. I was able to live all my life in Suomi. My folks had this dairy farm, and there was enough there when I was out of school. I went to school at the North Central School of Agriculture here in Grand Rapids. I got my high school there, and I always wanted to be a farmer. That was my dream. And so when I got out of school, I came home and farmed with Dad for several years, and then they retired, and then Gertie and I took over the farm and kept increasing like it got necessary. You know, we ended up with 40 cows and a grade A dairy farm, and well, this stainless steel stuff, you know, Bock tank and pipeline milker and all that. And so we were able to live our lives in Suomi. And I feel very fortunate that did happen, because it was a great place to live. Mm. The people were nice, and then the fish in the lake. You wouldn't believe the fish that there were in the lake. You know, you could go out there and get these great big sunfish anytime you wanted to, and they were huge. And then there were partridge all over the place. When I was young, you know,
was good.
Hunting was good. There were some deer, but not as many deer as there are today. Mm-hmm. But it was a great place to grow up. And then I trapped made my own money in that way, and it was exciting. And yeah, I had a great, great life.
So, Gertie, did you and Oliver ever have any wanderlust where you wanted to travel? Or?
We've traveled quite a bit. We've been to Finland twice and seen a lot of the United States.
Do you have any family still in Finland, or any relatives scattered around the United States even?
We both do, yeah.
My dad was the only one from a big family that came to this country. He had three brothers and two sisters left in Finland. But he was the adventurous type, and he had a friend that came to visit back in Finland. He had worked in Michigan in the copper mines and encouraged Dad to come. And so my dad did come, and my dad worked in the copper mines for 2 years. And the working conditions were terrible in those days, you know, 1910. And after 2 years, well, he thought, this is enough of this milk and honey over here in America, and he thought he'd go back to Finland. But he had an aunt in Alexandria, so he went to see her. And he got to this rural area west of Alexandria, and he liked it over there, and he stayed for a while, and he met my mother. And that changed his plans. He didn't get back to Finland until he retired.
What about the language in your home growing up?
Mostly English. I'd speak Finnish or Dad spoke mostly Finnish. But mother grew up in, her family came to Hibbing, and she went to school there, and from there they moved to Suomi. So.
Oliver, a lot of Finnish spoken in your family too? Or?
It was the same in my family too. My mother was 8 years old when she had come to the United States, and so she went to school here. My dad was 20. So, I usually spoke in English to my mother, although it was kind of a both language one, but then mostly Finn to my dad. And so we both learned both languages at the same time. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing. How can a little brain like that learn two languages and differentiate between the two of them? But that's what we did, because the thing of it is it was a Finnish community, so there was so much Finn spoken anyhow. So we learned both languages.
And when we were in Finland, the people, relatives there, were very surprised that we could speak Finnish and sentences and...
Are you concerned at all about the survival of Sumi?
No, I'm not concerned about it at all. It's there to stay, because we have our beautiful lakes there, and the lake shores now, both Little Bowstring and Grave Lake, are just dotted with summer homes. Mm-hmm. How about and year-round homes, too. There are some people that live there the year-round.
How about the presence of the Finnish heritage? Is there still plenty of signs of that?
No. It's pretty well gone.
Uh-huh. We're probably the last of the Mohicans.
I see. Yeah.
Miriam Hukkanen, she's a neighbor of ours, and she speaks Finn whenever, just in a few words, when we always greet each other. But I might say about the Hukkanens too. That was a very unique family, because they built their home very close to the school, just a few hundred feet from the school. And so they, Miriam's mother and dad, roomed and boarded at the teachers. First, there were these two teachers for many, many years, from about 1920 to 1935 or so. There were two teachers, and then after 1935, there was one until 1949. And they would room and board these teachers. What a job that was to take care of these teachers. It was a terrific, big job, but they did it. We have four girls and a boy.
Wow. Yeah. And where are they?
Two of the girls are in Colorado, and
Duluth.
And Duluth. And
Wausau. In Wisconsin? Wausau,
yeah,
Wisconsin.
Wausau, Wisconsin.
And then we have one boy that lives on the farm where we lived. He wanted a farm, but he didn't want to milk cows. So he got a beef herd. He has a beef herd there and puts up the hay and then sells some beef calves. But he also sells hay. But his main job, he says, he's a building contractor. So that's what he does mainly. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have him right next door, and we see him all the time.
How many acres do you have?
About 500.
And so you added to the original homestead.
We've added. When land became available that we could use, we bought it so that we didn't have to depend on renting land. And then we also have Gertie's home farm, 80 acres there, which is north of us.
Now, is that the old Mackey farm?
No, that's my folks' farm, and the Mackey farm, it belongs to the my cousins.
Now, what is your maiden name, Gertie?
Mackey.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. So you gradually acquired more land over the years as some... Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Going back to those people, they were so wonderful, because to begin with, we didn't have enough land, and like I said, we had 40 cows, and we needed a lot of hayland and so on. And those people were so wonderful. They offered us their land to use, you know, and they just wanted it farmed, and it was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hmm.